Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I swear I'm going to get everybody into the shot. I'm going to be out of the shot before it's all over with. We're down here in Canton. We're beautiful. In the heart of all the Canton Crossing, I have cranes. I have a beautiful view of the plaza out here. We're at Deep Pasquale. This is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. I've already given everybody here one. If you need one, we'll see you next week on Wednesday. We're going to be out in Eldersburg with Mike McKelvin at 1623. And then on Friday of next week, we're going to be in the morning at Zeke's Coffee, having delicious coffee with a whole bunch of deposed journalists, including cartoonist Cal Resig, Dan Rodericks, who was supposed to be here today, but I have been blessed instead with my dear lifer friend Nancy Longo from Pierpoint Restaurant, who frequents Deep Pasquale's. Apparently everybody frequents Deep Pasquale's except for me because I moved out of the neighborhood. Karinji's got his sunglasses on, fresh from soccer camp out here. He's kicking it. And Dom and Joe are here, and thank you for hosting me. My wife offered me fresh fruit this morning. Hey, you need me to pack you breakfast? I said, I'm going to be sitting in Deep Pasquale's at 8:15 this morning. They got cookie plates and tiramisu and gelato, and I'm just reading stuff over your shoulder. I said, I think I'll be okay. They've already fed me. What did you bring me, Dom? You brought me something.
The Porcello.
What is the Porcello? Tell everybody what a Porcello is.
It is one of our breakfast sandwiches. It has a sausage patty, roasted ham, cheddar, pancetta, and the secret sauce that the chef makes.
I like the secret sauce. Yeah. I still don't know what was in it.
Yeah, me neither.
No. It's a secret. And if he told you, he'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
Joe, what's in the sauce?
They keep me out of the loop.
They don't tell you anything around here. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Like, I've seen you on television a million times, both of you. Nancy and I have known each other forever. I've known Joe Giordano. How do I not know you guys except that? And I think I told you this. When I would come in the old little store, I knew who you were or whatever, but like, I'm there to get a sandwich. You're there to serve a sandwich. I wasn't about, like, hey, I'm on the radio. Sponsor my show. I never did any of that with you guys. But I know the whole neighborhood, the Santoni people, everyone. I feel like I grew up in Highland Town. This institution and this move here over the last 5 years of your life, I would think that you never saw this coming, right, in your life.
No, not in my lifetime. But it's happening fast. There's a lot of things going on around here. But I think, you know, I didn't know you. You're a lot younger than me.
No, I'm not.
You hung out with a different crowd, a younger crowd. And
I'm 56. How old are you?
I'm 66.
All right, so that's 10 years.
Yeah.
All right.
But then, and you're in Dundalk, so that's an extension of Highland Town to me. That's when when people,
you know. That's where
they all came. Yeah.
All my neighbors were from Highland Town.
When they wanted a yard and a bigger home, that's where they are.
Like, I knew the Zanino family. She said the Zanino family was in Colgate with Zanino Superette forever, Mr. Frank. I mean, it was literally a small Colgate version of your store. It had beer, it had chips, it had a deli. But I have Italian background. My grandfather came from the old country, settled in Philadelphia, came here. My grandfather blew the bugle at the track, Tommy Arena. And he would, on Saturday nights, drag me out to his house in Randallstown, and he would make me pizza. He'd make the... So, I mean, I have a real Italian thing in my background, but I think anybody that's been to delis anywhere in the world or an Italian store, this would be what you would dream to have if you had a row house in Islandtown and you had more space. Because you were out of space there, right?
Yes.
Like, literally, there was only so much you could do of eat in, eat out, carry out, and then just keeping the kind of items that you have here. This has allowed you to probably double the amount of items, or am I nuts in saying that? Maybe triple.
Yes. Well, almost triple. We definitely needed the space to merchandise and to just displays. We just, you know, make it more comfortable and higher ceilings, obviously. But we had to make the move. That store we were, it was never intended to be a deli. It was a hardware store.
So 1914 is what I see on the sign. Was that in that location, and that, because that, it feels to me like that probably came in the 20s or 30s, those buildings, right? Or am I nuts?
It was built in the 20s and 30s, but we were on 3700 Claremont originally.
Okay.
We moved to 3700 Gulf Street in 1988, which was a major move because it tripled our size then. We had what we called a warehouse then, but it's actually a huge garage.
So you didn't get there until 88?
Yeah.
88. So that, I mean, I was in Highland Town 3 days a week my parents never drove, so I was on a 23 bus line. So, like, coming to Highland Town was like, if I wanted to go anywhere, I got on the 23. Every piece of clothing I had as a child came from Epstein's. Every piece. I took my guitar lessons at Jaeger's across from Hausner's in the second floor, you know, in the store there. My parents, your store would have been a little bit like Stella's in Highland Town was Greek.
Yes.
But you would go in there, you'd smell all that Limburger. You remember Stella's? It didn't smell like this. Yeah. It smelled a little different. It just had that head cheese kind of smell to it. But, like, I walked up and down Eastern Avenue a million times, but I grew up on Bank Street. Mm-hmm. My childhood, 7900 block of Bank Street. And when I would go to Highland Town as a boy, I'd walk over and see Bank Street and say, that's the same Bank Street we got all the way out in Colgate, you know? Gulf Street was also a street. I had lots of friends that grew up on Gulf Street. 77, 78, 79, and 8,000 block of Gulf Street. You're up here in the, what were you, in the 3,000?
3,700.
3,700, yeah. Right? Highland Town was at lower numbers. So I guess we were 5 miles apart in the 8,000 block or 7,900 block of Bank Street. I didn't know you didn't get there until the 80s. So when you were a part of that then, you were a young man at that point in your life.
Well, yeah, I was in my 20s. But
so you moved that. You sort of shepherded that move, correct?
Yeah, my brothers and I, we were the influence. We had the enthusiasm. My father was sort of had other businesses going on. He was only open 2 days a week. But my brothers and I, we decided to take it on, and then he purchased.
As what? As a meat shop? Or what was it?
We were everything. We were like an Italian convenience store, actually. We sold fresh meats. We had at one time, they had livestock. We sold chickens and goats at the 3700 corner.
Yeah. See? Nancy's even doing it. Keep you on mic.
No, I mean, that's kind of crazy. So it was a hardware store when your parents bought it?
The one on Gulf Street. It was a hardware store, which was... That building was built by the
Allen
family.
And they bought it in the mid-'80s, and then they turned it into the store that you all...
See, I don't remember De Pasquale's being anywhere but there, so I didn't know that, you know?
We were right next to the Our Lady of Pompeii.
So then you spent almost 35 years there at Pompeii.
Yes.
That's where I think of you. So pretend I'm the Baltimore Business Journal now, and I'm doing a story about the move. What's the genesis of all of this? Because all of us remember what was here. This was a warehouse district. I remember when John Wright had Pro Image here under the bridge, aside from Greektown. But this was not much below the bridge at Canton. Everything was up on Brewer's Hill.
I bet he can tell you why he did that. But I'm going to tell you why it succeeded. Okay. So a lot of the Italian community that lived in Little Italy moved. Harford County, they're all out there. Then, I don't know, they're probably not related because they were glorious, the Pastores, right? So Pastores has all their little stores here and there. And then they start drying up. Meanwhile, he's coming up when they're drying up. You can see how, because they had a good product, they would be busting out of the seams faster than you could think to make that store need to be in a place like this. Because where was the Italian community to be able to go get their stuff? Especially a kid like me who lives on Brioski.
Well, parking was an issue in your neighborhood. Parking was the big issue. It was hard to just get in and get out over there at certain times.
Well,
right?
You're successful if the parking becomes a struggle. You know, that's the way it is. If it's a lot of action, parking becomes an issue. But we came here for one of the reasons, but now this is becoming an issue.
Okay, so I spent last night with the Costas family, with the Triantafilis family, and I've known them, 40 years, right? I didn't know why they never expanded, and I said this to them last night. I knew the Looney's guys. You mentioned Pastores. Let's talk about Pappas. Let's talk any place, Nacho Mamas, any of the places that wound up trying to have a second or third or fourth or fifth location. Amici's, my friends, they had a second location in Canton. That's when I met you. That move from one to two, or that move to, say, De La Rosa's, they moved three times and went into the Avenue, and this is sort of a similar move for you, to say we're going to take a corporate space in a different space in a modern area and move a family business. That's not something that when they come and bring you, here's the math on it, I'm going to dive into it. Old Italian guys going to sit back and think, I got to think about this. Where do I want to move this? I'm sure you could have moved to White Marsh. I'm sure you could have moved to Dundalk. You could have moved to Towson. You always have those opportunities, right? Yeah. I mean, new markets. I mean, Lexington Market, my friends with the Fadley's family, they moved to the market. They're opening a place over in Catonsville. I mean, for your family and Dom, you being the younger here, this is a family decision, a gigantic decision to move down here. How did the opportunity, like, all present itself? And did you know you wanted to move? Let's start with that.
Well, no, I'm very complacent, believe it or not. I'm very comfortable where I was. I mean, we lived there. All of our family lives there. So it was convenient for me. But this presented itself because it was all built out. It was another deli here, an Italian deli.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah.
Out of Long Island. Yeah.
This was a failed. Okay. All right. I did not know that.
But I think they were there ahead of their time, and they were sort of out of town. They didn't have the connection, but I liked it because I wouldn't lose a lot of my core business, so we could maintain that.
Plus, you didn't want to move too far,
right?
Well, you know, I could say this, and Joe knows me as I'm always, if I'm eating with him here, it's always been a lunchtime thing. But what I noticed when I used to go when we go to the other places, most of his lunchtime business with In-N-Out were Baltimore City firemen, police officers. So the community of Baltimore that's working in Baltimore was very connected to them. So if he would have said, oh, I'm going to go to White Marsh, you would have cut all those people off.
Yeah.
All the people that love you. It's the same with, like, if they go to Chaps. You go in there and they're all Baltimore City workers. There's certain things to Baltimore that no matter how you feel about a city or in or out of this city, that you don't want to, like, take away, because they supported you then and they're going to continue to support you. It's a generational thing, one after another, and they will keep coming.
I'll give you an example. G&A, you know, I've known him forever as well. I've eaten a million hot dogs. He's on Eastern Avenue, so I walk by. My dad would get G&A Coney Island hot dogs, put them in a bag, and we take the 22 bus, you know, right up Bank Street over to Memorial Stadium.
We do that at Atmans.
Well, right. I mean, everybody's got their thing, right?
Right,
you know? But, I mean, he decided he needed to be in White Marsh, right? So every decision, and that was a hard decision for his family as well. This decision here from day one, I mean, you guys are smiling, doing well. The place is vibrant. This may have been the best thing you ever did.
Yes. Until, you know, so far so good.
Until you got to go to work every day. Until you got to make meatballs every day, right?
Yeah, it's doing very well. It's been successful. But it's a lot more work. A lot.
Well, because it's bigger. And
bigger.
I've watched you from 8:15 with the, you know, the apron on. He let me in the door. I haven't seen him in 3 hours. He comes by every, you need me yet? Need me yet? No. You get all this food, Asher. So, Nancy, I want to tell the story because I want to talk about food with Dom. By the way, Dom is here and Joe's here. We're DePasquale's. Nancy Longo's here from Pier Point as well. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're getting a little more vibrant in here, as I knew we would at lunchtime. Month and a half ago, and I've been saying to my wife for a couple years, the sausages we're getting that we've been getting all of our life, and I'll leave the name out of it, but it's not the same product. It's just not. It's like going to get a Big Mac and it's a Whopper. It's just not the same thing, you know? And my wife loves making sausage and lentil soup. We like sausage on the grill. I like sausage and peppers with a beer on a Sunday in the summertime watching a ball game. If we grill things, sausage is on the top of the thing we would like to grill. And I said to my wife, I used to get the best sausages. And I said, I know the family. And I hit Darren's brother because we're linked on LinkedIn. And I said, look, man, I think your brother still makes sausages, but I don't know. I said, I want to get some. I want the old sauce. I want the sausage I know that I ate for 25 years. I said, you know, when I go down to Amici's and I get a penne Amici, they got the right sausage in it. And I remember Scott saying maybe a couple years ago, I still get my sausages from Darren. And I'm like, Darren, the sausage king? He's like, yeah, Darren, the sausage king. So I hit Darren's brother, and I'm like, look, I got to get some sausage. So about a month ago, within 5 minutes, I have Darren's number. Darren's texting me. He's like, whatever you know how Darren is. Whatever you want, you know, like all that. And I'm like, look, man, I just want to get the whole story. I wanted 4 sausage links, Joe. That's how this happened. I hit Darren. I'm like, I just need 6 sausages to come home. I just want to make some sausage over the weekend. Darren hit me 12 times, like, I want to make it fresh. I'm going to make it for you. I'm going to make it special. But you got to pick it up. I talked to him on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I'm not getting down. I go Wednesday, Thursday. I said, okay, Saturday. I'll come Saturday. So Friday night, he said, I'm making your sausage right now. You got to pick it up tomorrow. I'm like, he's like, you got to freeze
fresh,
it or make
fresh,
it.
Fresh,
you gotta
fresh.
You got to make it or freeze it, right? I came in on Saturday with my wife, and my wife hadn't been in here. I'd been here one time when you opened, and my wife came in, and she was. It was like she went to Italy again in New York. She's like this. I looked around. She's gone. She's in aisle two looking at the pasta. And I'm flirting with you and meeting you and taking pictures, and they brought me a box of like 20 sausages. And I said to Darren, I'm like, it's just me and her. We don't have a dog to feed. We don't have anybody to feed this to. So I went home, and we made links, and then we made sauce, and then we made more sauce, and then we made more links. And I kept taking pictures of all the ways I was making the sausages, and then we're going to do the show in here. So the sausage is here. Nance, grab that. Can you grab that from down there? She knows how to serve up. So, Joe, tell me about the Sausage King, because I'll give him his own microphone in the next segment when I get Petey in here, too. He and Petey are talking World Cup back there or whatever they're doing. You make sausages here, don't you?
We do.
Yes, we do. And Darren is the sausage maker.
And super passionate about it. Every day he's trying to perfect something with the sausage. And we're proud of
him. I'm going to make you laugh because I came in here a month ago, and I don't know either one of you. I barely know you now. Everybody knows you but me. Everybody knows me but you. So it's weird. But I came in, and I saw you first, and I'm like, I'm Darren's sausage guy. Oh, you're the radio guy. Okay. And I'm thinking I'm going to get a little bat, and he pulls out this box. And Darren's giving me fork and knife. Pulls out. I can't talk when I eat, Darren. So he looks at me with all the seriousness, and he looks at me, he's like, he's very proud of his sausage. That's what you said. You're like, he's very proud of his sausage.
He reminds me every day.
No, but I mean, it's an Italian thing.
Hey, Darren, who's got the best sausage? I do. Right, there you go. That's it.
Now, the Germans might say they're better at sausage, but I still say the Italians make better sausage.
Do you know the difference between these sausages, or is Darren going to need to be involved in this? They know the difference.
Oh, really?
I can smell like that one of them is a little different. Doesn't smell like an Italian sausage.
So we have Old Bay.
Old Bay.
We have the spicy and then the mild. All right. The hot Italian and the mild Italian.
All right. I know what the mild Italian tastes like. So this is the Old Bay. He was telling me you're doing some parsley new thing. What is this going to be?
Parsley provolone.
Yeah. That's cheese. Yeah. That's going to have a little salt to it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Nance, have you had this before, the Old Bay?
I'm going to
cut
this
off for you. Here, you have one right there. And I'm going to have you guys have a piece of your own sausage here.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. I've never in my life had an Old Bay sausage. Should I move you guys closer?
No, no, no.
I'm good.
It tastes like a crab cake.
That's our crab cake. We surprised you. We put it in a different form.
Okay, so here's the test of this is why it's a good sausage.
Crumbly.
It's been sitting. This is seriously. This is me talking to the chef. Mm-hmm. Just sitting for a while. It's not ice cold and it's not screaming hot, but it's still juicy. And that's the problem with people that make sausages. They don't know the differential between the fat and the natural protein that they're using. They make bad sausages. He used to sell me rabbits when I make rabbit sausage. Because I want to make
them
small.
They sell raccoon down at Bailey's. Muskrat,
but it's still really juicy. You can see that it is. And that mess.
Now, I'm going to do something
difference.
Right here that you guys are going to have to do radio. If I don't eat a lot of spicy. All right? He already told me this is a 7. 1 to 10.
Oh, I'll have to know.
So that's like 3 peppers.
I can have my nose cleaned.
And Joe brought me some water over here. So this is now the hot sausage. I better have the water ready for me here. Some coffee or something like that.
It's going to be hot.
Darren, if this makes my. If this forces me into a bad situation tomorrow morning with my constitutional, we're going to have a problem here. So.
For Darren, it's a 7.
Oh.
A
little
zing. If you like it hot.
It's a 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 5 or 6 to me.
Hold on. Because the heat always comes later. Mm-hmm. You guys do crab cakes here, too.
Yep.
Tell me about your crab cake. While I chew.
Diana. Yeah,
whose recipe on a crab cake?
It's a combination of all of us. We all had a little.
Group effort. No, it's not.
Is that the best way to do food? Or is it better to be?
Yes.
So it's a community crab cake recipe. Is that it?
Within the family, we tweaked it.
This would be what the crab cake tour should look like right here. That's a crab cake tour. You got limes on there. Yeah. I've never seen a crab cake served with lime. Look at that. That's new. That's different.
You know Italians like limes? You know Italians like limes?
I'm Hispanic, man. We put lime on tacos, on everything,
man. When we were kids, my father used to make us drink lime Slurpees with no sugar in them. I was like...
Very healthy.
Yeah. What the hell was that, Joe? Okay, so we all grew up. And you know what? We all drink a lot of tequila now because the only thing we ever knew was anything with lime.
Well,
you know, lime is actually, it's good for you.
It is, and we're just discovering it.
I love
it.
Lime.
All right, this is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'm at an Italian deli. I knew when I did this crab cake tour, everyone has crab cake in this town. And that's why I did it, because I thought there'd be very few places I'll go where they don't have a crab cake. Like, I was with my friends at the Missoni family, Greg Missoni.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's got his Italian restaurant up in Perry Hall. And Nicole, I've known Greg. Greg's Dundalk guy. I've known him, Ehrlich administration, whole deal. And I said to him, I want to do the crab cake. He says, well, we don't always have a crab cake on the menu. And I'm like, put one on the menu. I know I've been in there. They've had crab toast. Crab toast is another thing. You never see that on the menu anymore, crab toast.
I got a good one.
I love crab toast, so, no, you know.
You're going to come and have this thing.
When I was over Coco's about 2 months ago, her meat tastes identical to the meat that Burke's would put on their crab melt. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an extra sharp cheddar cheese over the crab on top of an English muffin, toasted. Nice and brown on that cheese, like a pizza cheese, kind of crusty. Oh, with some coleslaw and some fries. So I like crab cakes any way you make them. What's in this? You going to tell me, or is it a secret sauce like your secret sauce?
Well, there's a little touch of mascarpone cheese in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Who came up with that?
We had to do something different. We had to put an Italian twist to it.
Well, that's sweet. That's going to add a little
creamy.
Little sweet
creamy. And it's natural state. It's not.
Hold on. Are you going to have a bite of this? Have you had a crab cake here before?
No. I told you I come here to eat pizza and sandwiches and
salads.
She comes
for the pizza. Giordano says, get the meatballs.
No, no.
Darren will not. He would disown me if I don't have sausage when I'm here, right? I want the cannoli. I got trapped out of your bathroom for a few minutes, so I went through the case, and I'm like, soup, sausage and lentil soup. Folks sitting here all sworn by a different sandwich.
Yep.
So I don't know what to tell people. What is your favorite thing here?
Well, I like the Santino, which is very simple, prosciutto, mozzarella, fresh tomato, and basil. A very simple sandwich. That's my travel sandwich.
No meat in that.
There is. I don't eat it anymore.
All right.
That was my sandwich.
All right.
But
try to stay healthy.
Yeah. I laid off the meat, so.
All right.
But
what's your favorite thing?
Butcher's Hill cheesesteak. That's my favorite.
You see a cheesesteak.
I have had
Butcher's Hill cheesesteak.
I have
so we
had
put
one
sweet
of those
peppers,
here. It was
fried
good.
Onion, American cheese.
Call you back. Sorry.
We have our freshly sliced beef, round top, right?
Yes.
And hot peppers.
No.
Mascarpone in
now, I think that's an interesting point about the mascarpone because, again, what is the one thing that everybody in Baltimore hates about crab cakes? If it's got too much bread in it.
Uh-huh.
But because in its natural form, before you do anything to it, it's pretty thick, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you mix that in with the crab meat, you're going to be able to use less breading and filler because it's going to pull the stuff together because it's not loose.
It holds things together.
Correct.
It's a binder.
It's a really good idea.
She's giving us the professional version of
that's why I bought it. That's why I bought it. You just thought it tasted good.
I did used to do some consulting and write recipes for people.
Well, this goes back to the last segment I had where Andrew Zimmern, bougie chef to the stars, who we both know, Zimmern came on my show in like 2018 or 19, and I told him I was thinking about doing this crab cake tour because it would get me to meet new people. It would bring Karinji and Darren and the people together. And this was during the plague when I was trying to bring people together. We were all trying to keep business together. And Andrew Zimmern came on and sat on my show at the Super Bowl. He's like, there's only one way to make a crab. This is a guy from out of town. Only one way to make a crab cake. That's it. That's the only way. That's that. And I'm like, man, you ain't been to Baltimore. She makes three. She talks smoked crab cakes with me and all this stuff. This is a legitimately, and I've had hundreds of crab cakes at hundreds of places. This is a uniquely, I've never had one like this. This has got like the East Baltimore Old Bay thing. Like it's salty. It's got some salt going on in it. If you wouldn't have told me what was in it, I'd be like, it's got a strange flavor in it that I've never had before. and it's mascarpone cheese. Where, have you ever heard of anybody else?
No, but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I like it.
Because in its natural form, it's very non-distinct. It doesn't have a lot of flavor until you, people buy this stuff. You go to make
it
adds tiramisu until
creamy
you start adding.
Is the word I would use, right?
Yeah. So you start adding sugar and all this other stuff to it. Listen, people who don't know any better and don't want to spend any money will go get the cream cheese, right? Not us. We ain't doing that. It ain't happening. I used to say when my grandmother was going like this, that meant whatever Renzo said, you better not come back with any cheap. And cheaper, you're going to get your block knocked off.
This is crazy. I've had a million crab cakes everywhere I've ever been. My one observation the first summer, everywhere I went, they offered me tartar sauce. And I'm from Dundalk. Tartar was for fish sticks.
Oh, I love tartar sauce.
Right, so.
But you never had my tartar sauce.
I went to a lot of bougie restaurants the first year. I mean, all over the city. I did 24 counties. I mean, I had crab cakes everywhere you could have a crab cake. And almost everywhere, they brought me tartar and some places cocktail. But I thought, who would dump that white pickled nonsense on a crab? Like, it doesn't equate to me.
You got to make it right.
Yeah, they're trying to mask something probably.
So I make tartar sauce, but I make it where I take the mayonnaise and cut it with olive oil. And then it gets roasted peppers in it, and capers, and smashed up cornichons in it, and lemon juice. I would eat that.
I'll take
right?
that now.
I've had two or three tartar sauces that I've liked. I've tried them all because I was on a tour. I didn't want to be this. I don't dislike tartar sauce. It's benign. I just wouldn't put it on a crab cake. I would never have put a lime slice on a crab cake, ever. And I just squeezed lime on a crab cake for the first time in my life. And it brings me this Baja California fish taco that I love. Like, it's got a brightness. That's why people put lime on tacos and stuff. So that last squeeze. If you go to Clavel and get a taco, which I'm going to do next month, squeeze a lime on anything Mexican. That has almost got a Mexican. It makes me want, like, a Corona with it. Like, you know, like, literally on a hot day. Lime squirt on a crab cake.
Crab cakes are intended.
By the way, is that pimento in there? What we got going on in there? What is that?
The bell pepper.
Bell pepper, just straight bell pepper. I told her already.
It's roasted pepper.
It's a roasted
pepper. Well, it's a bell pepper.
It's a roasted bell.
Yeah.
And parsley. Is it parsley?
Yes.
All right.
Italian parsley.
Well, look, this is different.
That's what I use.
It's got bell pepper, and I want to show that off a little bit. It's delicious.
Curly parsley is nasty.
Yes.
There's a nasty flavor to it. And if you dry it and try to use it, it's even worse.
Yeah.
So I only buy the Italian parsley because I like the flat leaves. It's easier to chop. And if you dry it, it stays really green. And it doesn't smell like wet mowed grass. Like, if you're a chef, after a while, smells and things will, like, turn you off. I don't want to cook with that because it's, like, it stinks. So I'm really weird about parsley.
That's why I felt when I went to Stella's back in the day. It just didn't smell good. I'm like, Mom, I'm standing outside. You know,
I'm going
over to Epstein's, you know.
Yeah.
Joe is here. Dom's here. Joe's here. Dom's here. Nancy's here. I'm going to let you guys go because it's getting busy. Okay. I can tell you get antsy when you get pulled out away from work. You like work.
It's therapeutic for me. Working.
I told you, it's like restaurant business is like a drug. It pulls you in, and it's a way of life. People don't understand our lives, except for each other. We can talk to each other. Like when Kenny came in here, and like Kenny will tell me, I run into someone, and he goes, you know, I kind of miss it. And I was really sad about all my things. Managers, you know, just like, but so.
She's known everybody in here.
So you go, okay, but people don't understand it. And then when it starts to get busy, you do get antsy because you're like, Is everybody being taken care of properly? Do they get what they need?
Yes.
Is the staff
exactly.
moving fast enough? You know.
So Bobby Flay opened his Bobby B Bistro in the Towson East that failed years ago. My wife had just beaten cancer. It was the first day she went out. Don Moeller, Kevin Kamenetz was alive. And we went out, and they're like, come early, meet Bobby Flay, take a picture.
He's a
My
nice
wife
guy.
Was bald, and she was sick. But we went out there early, and there was nobody there, and all the media was her media day, right? And Bobby Flay's there early. Here's Bobby Flay, television, Chopped, Chef, all that. World beats Bobby Flay. Did you compete with him? Did you lose to him?
No. I 1 year we went to the Super Bowl, I had made 5,000 crab tamales, and FedEx lost them. And Bobby Flay was coming to the kitchen when I was giving one of my half Scottish, half Italian. And Bobby looks at me and goes, I'm going to make tamales with you. And I went, that's the only guy in this room I know would know how to make a tamale, right? And he did.
He helped you make tamales. So that speaks to his worker, and this reminds me of you, and this is the highest compliment, because I'm an operator too. Anybody messes with my radio show, I don't like it much. I went in, Bobby Flay's there, and he shook my hand, took a picture, was whatever, and from the minute he left me, he wasn't interested in anything but the operation. Like, when I looked at him, he was checking the salt shakers. He was checking the curtains. He was just checking stuff. Mm-hmm. But like you, when I got here, just bussing things because, like, you're active
people.
Gotta
get it rolling.
You know?
It's part of your nature.
I heard Springsteen say this summer, and he said, basically, like, why are you out on a tour? Money, this, fame, adulation, make people. He said, I'm a better man when I'm working. I'm not a good man when I'm not working. That was his admission to himself, to say, idle time is not good for me. It's not good for my soul. It's just not who I am.
I'm going to use that for my wife.
All right, use that. You take it home.
I want to use that line. I'm a better man
when
I'm
working.
All right?
Are you?
I feel like I am.
Can you? What's the most amount of time you've ever taken off? 2 weeks?
It was 10 days. Pre-COVID. We went to Italy. That was it. Pre-COVID.
That's it. On day 9, you couldn't wait to get home, right?
Yeah.
How many times did he check in on the store?
Well, that was the old store.
All right. The new store's a different animal.
Yeah. So the old store, I had some more family members that stayed behind it, but I was a little more comfortable. But now this is too big for just the family anymore. That's the problem.
So by taking that Ocean City for the weekend, I can't do that with you right now. You won't be comfortable.
Day and a half I was. I just got back.
That was enough.
Day and a half. And then
you've never seen him take 5 days off ever, right?
Only that one time when you were sick. Remember that?
When?
See?
You were so sick you stopped drinking too. You got a complete like
you must have really cleansing.
I was been on my deathbed. Yeah.
That was a hell of a flu. He didn't even remember.
Well, I don't. Right, I completely blacked out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been comatose.
I have crazy respect for that, and even more so for your son, because like it does rub off. And my dad's been dead 33 years this week. My dad died July 11th. Are we there yet? We're getting there. Yeah, the end of the week. Yeah. It'll be 33 years. My dad, like his source of problem. My dad was from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Came down to work on the bombers in Martin Marietta in 1940s. Met my mom. They got married at Mount Carmel. Settled in Essex. Worked at the Point. All that, right? Joe Giordano was here talking about the Point. My dad used the word scratch. My dad would say, "I never scratch. I never take a scratch." That was the word, scratch.
He was a horse racer.
My dad didn't know nothing about horse racing at all. But he would say, "I won't scratch."
Oh, mine did.
Scratch is a horse racing term. Scratch horse, right? But he would say, "I never scratch a day." So my dad would never, I never saw my dad take a day off. Like, he just, time to work, he went to work.
Yeah.
I'm that way, and my wife's married into it. I own a radio station. It never stops.
Well, well,
right on the back of this, we never stop talking. We never stop talking. Like, so I feel that. And I feel that in other people, and I sense you got to go. You got to work.
They say that in most cases, a lot of people that live longer because they work longer, they do live healthier later in life.
I talk about Mr. Costas, losing him. I was at their place last night. I'll be back there again on Thursday. Steve Rouse is coming Thursday and doing the show with me.
Oh, goodness.
We'll have a real radio host here that day. I talked to them last night. I did it without crying, so I don't want to do it here. But 86, behind the ball. I never went in there when he wasn't there. And the one time the boys took him to the playoff game a year and a half ago. When the Orioles won 101 games, right? Mm-hmm. Who did they lose to that year? I don't know who that was. 2 years. It was not the Texas
Kansas
year.
City
was
again.
Kansas City.
It's always Kansas City.
No, it was Kansas City last year. It was Texas. It was 2 years ago. It was Texas. Okay. It was the year they won 101. 2 years ago, they Texas. Played the game, and I was in the bar, and all the boys were like, "Yeah, we're taking Dad to the playoff game. We're taking." And I'm like, "Ah, great." That day, I went in to the bar, and I'm in there watching the playoff game, and in the seventh inning, Costas is getting me a beer. I'm like, "Well, what are you doing in here?" He's like, you know, I go to the game. I stay 5 innings. I got work to do, man. I got work to do." And that's Mr. God bless him, you know.
Yeah.
But he was 84 at the time. Baseball. I got work to do, man. You know, I got to come in and work. So I think that might be you.
Yeah, I get out of baseball games early.
Well, I just gave you Springsteen's line, so for the rest of your life, you get to use that. People come in here when you get to be an old fart and you're really walking around struggling. What's Joe doing here? Didn't Dom throw him out? You can say, I'm a better man when I'm working. That's it. So I just gave you that. Joe DiPasquale, Dom's here. Nancy's here from Pierpoint. Crab cakes are here. Sausage is here. The Roma Sausage King. I'm going to have Darren and Pete come together. We're going to talk some more sausage. We're going to talk Highland Town hooligan soccer action. And my first crab cake that I know of that had mascarpone in it, and the first crab cake I definitely know that I squirted a little bit of lime on, don't knock it if out there. Try it. Come on down here. But the crab, nobody's going to come here and order crab cake. They're going to get the meatballs.
There's too many options.
Yeah. That's what the problem is here, right? You don't serve a lot of these, right?
No, we do. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Darren, you got to leave?
I'm going to keep a squally sausage cake.
I know that.
Not Roma.
The old day.
That's the old day.
Did I call him the Roma? Did I say that out loud? I've said that on the air.
I'm going to keep a squally.
Once, I was Nasty Nestor. Nobody calls me that anymore except you. Well, Pete.
Maybe.
I have you saved in my phone like that, too. Nasty Nestor.
That's the only people that have known you a long time.
Is that love?
Yes.
I love you.
Love you too.
Yeah, I do love her. Nancy Longo from Pierpoint. Joe and Dom are here. Darren's going to come back. We're going to talk sausage, more crab cakes. Somebody's going to come and help me eat all this meat. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I am Nestor. We are. See, this is how quick they're not even. Just here. Drop the mic. Just do it like this. Boom. There we go. We're back out. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.